For the message today, I'm giving an example of what a word study looks like and what you may discover in your path as you find a word that God has given you to study, but now between Easter, or it could be that you'll study it till the end of the calendar year. Who knows? We'll see how God leads you. Why do a word study? Well, we know that God's word is inspired. We draw inspiration from God's word. Inspiration moves us into motivation, and from motivation, we act. And so we become better people by studying God's word. Now, the word obviously is grace, and so the first hymn that we sang was about marvelous grace. The last hymn we're going to sing will emphasize the wonderful grace we have. And in between, we sang Amazing Grace. And as you noted with the quartet, we sang And Can It Be? That was a hymn written by Charles Wesley. Charles Wesley, in this hymn and in his life, found that personalized amazing grace. Whenever we sing that, it's very personal, isn't it? It's what God has done for us individually. We personally feel his amazing grace in our lives. It is recorded that Charles Wesley, while he was in London, and it was actually on Pentecost Sunday, that he was reading the works of Martin Luther at the time, and he was struck. He was struck to the core by salvation by grace. And that day, he gave his life to Christ. He writes this in his journal. These are his actual words. At midnight, I gave myself up to Christ, assured I was safe, sleeping or waking. I had a continued experience of his power to overcome all temptations and confessed with joy and surprise that he, meaning God, was able to do exceedingly abundantly for me above what I can ask or think. And I have now found myself at peace with God, and I rejoice now in the hope of a loving God. Now we know that we are saved by grace, and we know that our conversion is our hope for eternal life. And that this is all due only to God's grace. But what is grace? We hear it in so many different forms. Is it only this transforming power, or is it more than that? Well, in the year 2011, I was called upon to be the guest speaker for a women's rally or a women's retreat for Northern Indiana District. And it was held at Creekside Church, the same church that I mentioned earlier. And this occurred prior to our move to Alaska. And so as I talked and thought about what I would speak upon, I was drawn to the word grace. In every song that I sang, in stories that I heard, in testimonies that people gave, I kept hearing the word over and over. And so what I did at this retreat, and you can see this is the original slide that I used, I shared my experience about grace. Now, you will not hear the whole thing. The whole thing was 2 hours and you know, it was a whole day retreat, right? So you're going to get it in 10 minutes, and so you're only going to get parts of it. But the title was Grace During Times of Change, or also entitled The Power of Encouragement. Now, you may seem, I think at first, you know, that's two different topics. Why are you including these? Because grace and encouragement overlap. And I love the fact that as people pick their words, it was cute. I was talking with Lisa, and I could see her whispering with her mom. Lisa said, I have chosen the word encouragement. And she said, my mother chose the word grace. And they had no idea that this morning's lesson would be on both and that your words will overlap in your studies. I love it. But let's begin with what Scripture says about grace. That's always the best place to start, isn't it? Ephesians 2, verses 8 through 9 states, and this is very familiar, for by grace you have been saved through faith, and this is not your own doing. It is the gift of God, not the result of works, so that no one may boast. It clearly states here that grace is a gift, and it's this gift that Charles Wesley felt as he penned this hymn, "And Can It Be?" Other scriptures, however, are not quite as clear as Ephesians is. If we look at 1 Peter 4:10, there's actually two ways to read it, depending on what version you have. There's King James Version, but there's also the NIV, the New International Version. King James states it this way: "As every man hath received the gift, even so minister the same one to another, as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." So here you're hearing gift and grace almost in two different places, and yet meaning the same thing. The NIV states it this way: "Each of you should use whatever gift you have received to serve others as faithful stewards of God's grace in its various forms." Grace in its various forms. That caused me to do some digging. What are these forms of grace? So I went to the Greek origins. I went to my Greek commentary, and I saw that grace has two Greek roots, okay? Two. The first one looks like charis, but it's pronounced charis. Charis. It's a very hard K. I'm probably not even doing it very well. But charis. And it does mean gift, as mentioned in King James version of 1 Peter 4:10. But it also means, check this out, favor, thanks, credit, commendable, as in a commendable act, an act of grace, a benefit, a blessing, goodwill, gracious gift, gratitude, offering, a privilege, and all forms of thankfulness. I bet if you went to Webster's Dictionary, you wouldn't find as many synonyms. And that's only one root. The NIV, the New International Version, emphasizes our servitude to one another in applying this gift, in applying this grace that we have received in all of its forms. So when we look at this, we should ask ourselves, how often do we extend grace to one another, to our neighbors, to our family members, or to those that we don't always agree with? Or those who we may outright disagree with? How often do we apply grace? How often, look at these words, do we extend favor, thanks, credit, commendable act, a gift, an act of grace, a benefit, a blessing, a goodwill, a gracious gift, gratitude, offering, privilege, and all forms of thankfulness? When we extend grace, this is what the Greek word means. Now, had I stopped my study here, I would have had enough on my plate to have studied for the rest of the year. Right here, my plate was full. But there was another root form to study. And the CH is pronounced as an H, so it's pronounced harizomai, harizomai. It's a very guttural H, harizomai. Now, this other root word means, good, you have it up there, forgive, canceled, handover, freely given, graciously given, granted, released, and restored. This form are the verbs. This is what we are to do. Whereas charis is the noun form that describes what grace is. Do you see the difference? So as a verb, it's telling us how we extend the grace. So, and I find, and I don't know about you, but I find that grace is sometimes hardest to extend when we are in turmoil, when we are in a state of change, when we are in flux or in between or having a transitional period of time in our lives. Oftentimes, or when we're just overwhelmed, there's just too much. Sometimes those are the times when it's hardest to be gracious and to show grace. But it doesn't always have to be a negative change, right? It could also be a very positive thing that's happening in our lives, like giving birth to a baby or birthing a new job, a new responsibility, or a new title. Whenever change occurs, we become unsettled. Routines change, responsibilities change, and we have to learn to reshuffle the cards, don't we? We have to learn to reshuffle. And it's sometimes an awkward shuffle until we know where we're going in this new terrain. And some people, right, react to change better than others. Some adapt very quickly and welcome the challenge of a new routine. They quickly adapt to this new terrain, while others simply do not. As a classroom teacher, I could easily identify those who could adjust to change and those who could not. All I had to do was change the seating arrangement, right? That's all it took. Or make a change in a regular routine of, you know, usually we go right through this at certain steps. If I would change either of those who did not, who struggled with change, I would hear things from them instantly, like, why are we changing the room around? Why can't I sit next to my best friend? Are we always going to be doing it this way? How long is it going to be like this? And it goes on and on and on, right? The quick changers would walk into the room, see it exactly as the others did, and they go, cool, I like it. Can I sit next to someone different? Hey, if you ever rearrange it next time, can I help? I've got some ideas. Okay, so you could tell the difference between those who adjusted to change well and who didn't. Now, you may be a quick changer. You may not be. Your children may all be different in how they react to change. But I want you to take just a minute, and I want you to think about someone who taught you or demonstrated grace in time of change or transition. Who demonstrated it? Sometimes it's a stranger. Maybe it's someone who bought coffee for you while you were standing in line. Perhaps it's someone who had just the right words when you were suffering. Who emulated grace in your heart and in your mind? What I love about Scripture is it shows us who God is. And what I love about the word grace, it is twofold. It is, one, an attribute of God. It is what God is. God is grace. But it is also what God bestows. So when he gives of himself, he bestows grace because he is grace. So think about that in our own lives. When we can bestow grace when we choose to be gracious. Apostle Paul shared this with the Thessalonians in his second letter to them. Chapter 2, verse 16, he states, now may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us, do you see the word love? He loved us first. And through grace, here's God's attribute as well as his gift, God gave us eternal comfort and good hope to comfort your hearts and strengthen them in good work and deed. So now revisiting the second chapter of Ephesians, now we're going to look prior to verses 8 and 9 that we read earlier, and we're going to look at verse 7. It states, so that in the ages to come, he, meaning God, might show the immeasurable riches of his grace in kindness toward us and Jesus Christ. Immeasurable riches. That's exactly what these words, these synonyms show us. The depth of his love, the depth of his grace. So we quickly find that there are three truths, and I'm sure you could add more. But the first truth that we learn is grace is essential during times of doubt, when we feel imbalanced. But we need to keep in mind that other people feel imbalanced at times too. So it's very important that we extend grace when we feel imbalanced. It's important for us to extend grace when we notice somebody else is imbalanced. We have Barnabas of the New Testament, not one of the original 12 disciples, but he became a forefront disciple who, as you know, encouraged, showed grace to Saul, who became Paul, showed grace to him so that the other disciples extended that same grace and accepted him as an apostle. I'm not sure exactly where Paul would have landed had Barnabas not been there to help guide and pave the way and encourage and extend that grace as a spiritual brother. A second truth that we learn is that truth is needed during times of drought or trouble. We can take this clear back to Adam and Eve. You know, think about that. Just as their lips were touching the forbidden fruit, God was providing grace. He was providing grace. We know that God gave us a thing called free will, and when he did that, he knew it'd be dangerous. He knew we would not always follow what he would want us to do, right? So here's us. We falter, and what does God raise? He's raising the cross. He is raising the cross. The cross, Calvary, was not a knee-jerk reaction of God. It wasn't like, oh man, my people are really messed up. What am I gonna do now? All right? No, when he put in free will, he was thinking the cross. He was thinking forgiveness. So we have this built-in grace that, of course, the New Testament felt fully. This built-in grace, again, is the essence of God as well as the gift of God. But a third truth, and this is probably one of my favorites. I think the other two you probably already know. But what I love about the third is that a perceived mistake may be grace in disguise. Again, a perceived mistake may be grace in disguise. I'm going to give you two examples. Number one, let's assume we have a couple, and it's Christmas time, and one of the spouses puts up a real tree in the house and puts gifts underneath it, puts on music, cannot wait for the other spouse to come home. I'm so excited, got the tree up, got the gifts under. Well, spouse number two walks into the house and says, "What is this? I do not want a live tree in my house. I do not want those bugs in here." What has that done? It has literally diminished the gifts that are underneath the tree, the joy that should have been a part of that moment. You know what? God has gifts underneath our tree. He has gifts to give us. He has this charis to extend to us. So when we review these words again, we see that we have opportunity to exercise grace. We have this opportunity to extend these words. Now, you received when you walked in a little grace card. Can you lift those up? And if you didn't get one and we have extras back there, feel free to take them. I want you to recognize that this is a credit card of grace. Okay? And you can spiritually use it any time of the day or night. You can use it any amount of time. You can swipe this credit card of grace. Did you notice that credit was one of the grace definitions? So it only made sense to give you a credit card. So anytime you may feel that you're being attacked by someone who may be imbalanced, what do you do with that grace card? You swipe it. You swipe it and you extend grace. You extend grace. What about if you're not feeling well about something you said or something you did and you didn't handle it well? What do you do with that grace card? You swipe it. You swipe it and you move on and you say, God, I'm going to do better next time. Please forgive me. Right? So I want you to hold on to these grace cards. You can put it wherever you think it works best. Does it work best on a bathroom mirror? Does it work best on a refrigerator where you can remind yourself daily that we need to extend grace? A second example of grace goes back to a true story. I don't know if you've heard of this name. He's a famous wildlife painter. His name was Sir Edward Landseer. Anyone know of a Landseer? Okay. Sir, that tells us, obviously, Great Britain. He was sitting at one time in a Scottish seaside inn, and he was enjoying his meal when a waitress came along and accidentally dropped the tray. Food went everywhere. Glasses broke. Everything was destroyed. And the thing that the proprietor or the owner of the inn was most upset about was this enormous stain that ended up on this wall. And he was going to garner the wages of this waitress to pay for that cleanup. But Sir Edwards rose up and he said, no, don't do that. Allow me to take care of it. He painted a magnificent stag with large antlers where the stain on the wall had existed. This girl's mistake, this accident, turned into a masterpiece. And it blessed not only the people there at that time, but for ages and ages hence. God can do that. God can do that. He can do that with our lives. We can mess up. What does God do? He swipes the grace card and he says, don't worry about it. I've got this. Then he proceeds to make something beautiful out of the situation. If we relax and allow God to do it. That's why forgiveness is so important, and that's why forgiveness is one of the synonyms of grace. Because if we do not extend grace, we miss the blessing. We miss the gift that God is giving us underneath the tree. We miss it altogether. There is a blessing there to be had. So I encourage you not to miss God's blessings this year. Let us better understand what grace is, so we can understand how it blesses not only our lives, but how we can extend it to bless others. Hebrews 4:16. I know you may not, it may have been up there, you may not have seen it all, but it says, let us then approach the throne of grace, which is God, with confidence. With confidence. With confidence. Even when we mess up, folks. With confidence, we can approach the throne of grace and be assured that God has that grace card and he's going to swipe it. So that's what we do for one another. We swipe that grace card because God does it for us. Amen.